This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I don't have a joke to say because Elon Musk sucks. That's it.
You're not wrong. I'm Brandi Posey, and carpe diem, girl.
I'm Tess Barker, and okay, but buying shit on your phone is so fun, though.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandi, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Welcome to the show. Sorry I half-assed that intro, but I just legit, I haven't written any jokes, and I blame it on him.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's hard. It's hard to write jokes when you're just like, well, this is just like going straight into a bucket that no one is going to see.
Right.
Yeah. They took away the addictive part, which.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad.
Great move.
It's good for not looking at my phone as much, but it's bad for my joke.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I could just write them, but if no one's seeing them.
Ugh. If a joke goes off in the woods and nobody is there to fame it.
I think it just does speak to his genius, though, to take away the addictive part of the app that was known for its
addiction. That is so true.
Just,
so smart.
I mean, a visionary. I'm sure more things won't go wrong under
never.
His tutelage.
Ooh, good word.
Good word, yeah.
Thank y'all.
Do we got any shows coming up for people
to see? Next picture this, Los Angeles, July 2nd. We're at Nonplus Ultra, which is like a super cool, hip venue. I've never been there, but I've been told it's very cool and the kids love it.
Got a cool name.
Yeah, exactly. So come there. And also thank you to everybody that tuned in to the freaking sleepover.
Yes. We had an amazing 24-hour sleepover for our patrons. It was so fun. We're tired. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Portland at the end of July, so I'm stacking up the shows right now. But if you live in Portland, I will be there July 22nd through the 30th doing a bunch of shows and hanging out. So come out and see me there.
Hell yeah.
And let's get to our show. This was such a fun one. We had a great guest. You've heard the other half of Stradiolab. Well, we had our other co-host on today. Stradiolab, it's a podcast from iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network. And we had a blast hanging out with Sam Taggart. Oh my God, let's just jump into hanging out with our guest, Sam Taggart. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Wow. We've already had George, so I hope you can bring it.
Yeah, he set the bar high.
How did he do?
Really well.
Really well. Oh my God.
Yeah. I give him like a 9.5 out of 10, and I only say that so you have room to improve upon it.
That is so hard and so scary. I mean, it's tough working with George. He's such an intellectual heavyweight that, you know, the only thing I can do is sort of run in the opposite direction, maybe be the dumbest person on earth. So here's hoping.
Everyone needs a lane. Yeah, that's the thing.
That's smart, you know. I mean, but that just shows how smart you are because you're like, I know, you know, how to support him.
Yeah.
So
can't have two Georges on
also,
the show.
I will just say your chance to totally talk shit on him if you
want. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, he never listens.
Is this a pr- private podcast. I don't know if you know, but
I wish.
I assume all of them are.
I know.
I've got some nasty stuff, and I'm like, why did I do that? It's always so embarrassing later.
Don't we all? And then, like, if somebody calls you out on something you said in a podcast, it feels like, why were you listening to that? Don't eavesdrop.
Yeah, it's like, actually, you're the perv. Like, that was, that is so gross. You're, like, peeking in my life.
Yeah, it always feels like they crossed a boundary when you have just put these things out there for the whole world to hear.
For literally tens of thousands of people, but it's like, but you know.
The weirdest to me is when people, like, pick up on patterns that are, like, not even, like, talking points, but sort of like how you speak, and it's like, well, you can't critique that. That's just literally my personality. Like, that's not going to change ever.
No,
exactly. That's just who I am. I'm sorry, or get used to it.
I feel. I'm wondering if anyone else has this experience with themselves, but like, I feel like I'm very malleable in terms actually of my speech. Like, if I'm hanging out with people from the South, I will start dropping y'alls. I'm from California. Y'all is not. You know what I mean? Wow. Or like, I have a lot of Chicago friends, and I'll still be like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what that means. Doesn't that happen to anyone else?
It does not happen to me, but I do have to say my brother does that in a way that sometimes, like, he's my younger brother, and I'll be like, what are you doing? Like, that's not your personality. Like, we have like family that lives in North Carolina, and but like, we didn't grow up there, but he will literally be like, like, just start being like, yeah, well, you know how it is. And I'm like, that's not your voice at all.
I definitely have done that when I was, like, when I was a teenager and I did this whole thing where I hung out with a bunch of Irish people. I don't know.
What a weird way to say it.
You know, the whole thing, the Irish people thing.
You know that Irish teen thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would definitely, I would definitely start to talk like them because you kind of just get into that mode. And use their slang. They say, like, what's the crack and stuff.
They say, what's the crack? Yeah.
It's good
crack.
Yeah,
it's crack, but like... good crack. It's spelled C-R-A-I-C.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it mean? Just means, like, what's up or, like, what's the crack? It's, like, what's the gossip or, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
And can I hear a good crack in a sentence?
I can't do it because I have to do the accent and I'm going to fuck it up. I can't. I'm not even going to try, honestly.
Can you just visualize river dancing for a second and then whatever comes out after that?
Yeah, you need like a base level sentence to say to get you in it.
Okay. Is Guinness good crack?
Sure. Well, no, because it just, they just say, what's the crack? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
What's the crack?
Heard it in reference to like good, like if something's funny, like if something makes you laugh or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, oh, that latest special was good crack or something.
Okay,
like that.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
It's funny to hear it in such American.
Yeah, good, that's crack. Good crack.
Yeah. Maryland, Virginia accent over here.
I code switch, I've realized, with mostly with like, I used to be friends with a lot of like indie music people, and like since doing comedy, that's not how I talk anymore. But then when I see them again, I'm like, oh yeah, man, like that band fucking sucks. Like, I like immediately get into this like really masculine place that is very weird, but I can't stop.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially like in a professional or artistic setting, because it is such a community where it's understandable that you would sort of drop into that terminology, I think.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah, or I've done like, because I was trying to surf for like 3 years, and because I'm from California, so I kind of talk like a surfer, but then I was getting like some of the phrases like wrong. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I was like so blown out today. And it's like, I didn't know what I was saying. Like, I would just hear people talking about surfing phrases. Or my best friend who listens, she's going to get, is it Riptide or Rip Current?
Riptide.
I guess it can be both, right?
No, because whatever one I say, she gets mad. She's like, it's not that.
There's an undercurrent in a Riptide.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
Well, either one, you probably don't have enough time to figure out which one you're yelling out as it's pulling you under.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, the sea doesn't care either way. It'll still be out there being terrifying.
Sam, are you from the music world? Is that your background?
I like dabbled. I was in like some, like a almost joke band in college, and then sort of like it progressed into being like in a real band for a second when I first moved to New York.
Nice.
And which was fun. I liked that scene. And I very much, like, I live in Brooklyn, and like in 2012 when I moved to New York, it was like the dream of like,
oh,
Williamsburg
yeah.
was still alive and well. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to be indie rockers. And I still knew, like, I always was like, well, I'm going to move to New York to do comedy. But when you first get there, you're like, well, I have no idea what I'm doing. So,
yeah,
yeah.
Like, if these people want me in their band, then I'm going to be a band guy for 2 years and see how that hits.
Yeah, yeah. As a former indie rocker, are you taking it exceptionally hard that the teens have rejected tight, skinny pants?
Oh. Well, it's a double-edged sword because they're rejecting the tight skinny pants, but they're loving like 2010 indie yeah. rock now.
It is like, fun that's like oldies stuff is back. I'm like, okay, you guys are like into instruments again. Cool.
Did the kids so just weird. Find out about the Strokes?
They are loving the Strokes. They're loving LCD Sound System. They're loving like the indie sleaze of like the early 2000s.
Hell
and it's
yeah.
very weird.
Oh, that wow. rules. Yeah, I just saw the Hives play at like a house show out here, and there were a bunch of like young people at it, and that made me, it did fill me with a special kind of joy.
Wow, that is crazy. I mean, literally yeah. like I have like American Apparel t-shirts from 2012, and I'm like, that's going to be so trendy so soon. I'm holding on.
It comes at you fast. Like one day they're playing Alanis Morissette on the oldies station, the next day...
Man, I have three almost completely untouched old American Apparel hoodies that I've just like kept in a bin because I knew that like I got them at like the last days of American Apparel. And that's like my favorite hoodie fit. And I just keep being like, whenever you break them in, then you'll just never have them again. So they're like I only pull them out sometimes, but you're making me think I might be able to like flip them for some real... That's the real Beanie Babies.
You might.
Yeah. And can I tell you exactly apropos of that subject? I had something very cool happen to me recently.
What?
Yes. I was crossing the street by Sean's office where that coffee shop is a couple weeks ago. And our friend Robert Buscemi drove by. He lives in our neighborhood. I know. And he rolls down his window and he's like, Tess. And I'm like, hi. And he's wearing that American Apparel hoodie. And I'm like, I have that hoodie. I'm like, that's my favorite hoodie. Like, we're in traffic. I'm like, that's my favorite hoodie. And then he drives away. That's like, that's the whole interaction. And then I see him at your Memorial Day barbecue. And he's like, yeah, last time I saw you, you were yelling at me about my hoodie. I'm like, yeah, I love that hoodie. It's the American Apparel hoodie. You can't get it anymore. And he's like, I have a stash. Oh. I have, same thing you. I have a stash of unused American Apparel hoodies. And he said, you know what? I've never seen this kind of enthusiasm about a hoodie. I would like to give you one of these hoodies. And I said, yes, please. Wow. And he was like, thank you so much for like accepting this because I feel like most people don't know how to accept a gift. And I was like, oh, I'll accept it. I will absolutely accept it. And 2 days later, he came and brought me a brand new, fresh American Apparel hoodie.
And I've been living through.
And he followed through.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a black hoodie or what color
is it? It's turquoise. You know that turquoise one that I've been wearing for like 15 years? I got a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to have a stash of them, that's amazing. That's like doomsday prepper, but for fashion.
Yes.
I love that.
It honestly makes me feel great for being like a mini hoarder and holding on to shit way too long.
Yes.
I'm like, see, you never know when you could really make someone's day.
Yeah, we're not clothes horses. We're fashion preppers is what's going on. Got to look at the apocalypse. I'm not getting stuck in just a tire. You know what I mean? I'm not going to just end up wearing a tire. Not cozy. I want to be cozy.
Okay. I do have a quandary for you guys. Tell me.
Okay.
Okay.
This is kind of embarrassing. Okay. So like years ago, I tried to do Nutrisystem, you know, which is like the disgusting Marie Osmond hawked like diet, quote unquote.
The Chef Boyardee for women
like,
in their 30s.
It's disgusting. It's basically like very freeze dried, very like shelf stable for quite a long time. Not something I wanted to actually eat. But I kept like a box of it because I was like, all right, this is just like emergence. I was like, you know, shit goes down, I can eat this, right? And so I have it saved, but my boyfriend is like, we have to get rid of this new system. He was like, please, can we just like buy some canned food and not have this? And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not, because everything, I mean, obviously canned food is like still a dollar, but everything's just so expensive right now. And I'm like, yeah. I refuse. But now I feel like I can't tell if I'm on the right side of history.
You're not. I agree with Adam.
In the
event of a disaster, like the last thing you're gonna want is bad food.
But it's all, I'm not, it's none of it's gonna be great. Like, I'm not like expecting a gourmet meal if I'm just like trying to survive on something.
If you don't change your backup plan now and there's a disaster, what I just said is going to be ringing in your mind.
Well, what do you think is gonna be better than that? Do you think that,
I mean, I don't know. TJ's has some decent canned stuff. You can get like some veggie chili. Get some Mac. I don't know.
I think you can.
Yeah, get some Annie's.
Yeah, oh, Annie's.
Mm-hmm.
It's good as hell.
That's true. But again, I don't want to spend. I'm like trying to not spend money that I don't need to spend.
Girl, you got canned food money. Get up.
Not Annie's. I don't have Annie's money. Annie's is another level.
Here's the thing. You're redoing your front yard. How about you guys dig a
dig the Nutrisystem.
Yeah, bury it in the yard, and then you'll have space inside. A bunker in the front yard. Yeah, a landfill.
I'm gonna be someone who starts burying Nutrisystem in my yard. That sounds like a next correct move.
Yeah, I think. No one will know.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Wait, I have a question. Okay, do we think, Sam, we talked with George about your project, Stradio Lab. Do we think Nutrisystem is straight culture?
I do think it's straight culture.
I do too. Yeah.
I think anything like pre-made is straight culture.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And anything.
Like Chef Boyardee, like, very straight culture.
And a dietary portmanteau feels very straight culture too. Like Nutrisystem.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you try to add tech into food, it's like not gonna be gay.
Yeah.
Okay, can you tell me what a gay version of prepping would be, like, what I should buy?
Yeah, that would be good.
Oh my god. Well, I do think the clothes do make sense. Like, I thought that was what was so funny about like that one episode of Last of Us where it was like he's a prepper, but also he has all these like gorgeous little things that he's like, why are you not getting rid of that? And I was like, oh yeah, that checks out. Because it's like sometimes you'd rather starve and have like a fun outfit than, you know, shitty food or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I also think if there is food, it would be sort of Annie style. Like it would be like, well, I actually like there would have to be some sort of local prepper that you're like buying stuff from that's like somehow chic.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you can buy it by like, you know, artisanal like
honey?
Canned goods.
Yes. Yeah, like with a matte but glitter label at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Anything pickled, yeah, stuff like
that.
Okay,
this is good. This is good.
All right, I want to be in a gay neighborhood when the end times hit.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to be.
The end times are hit. I feel like, I know we kind of joke about this, but it does feel like even in New York with all the crazy, like, the air, and I'm just like, God, like we are just in the slowest apocalypse. Like it's just taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy. I was like, yesterday I was like, well, I guess I should flee. Like I was like, but where do I go? And I was like, right, you can't go anywhere.
It's so true. One really doesn't know when is the day to flee.
Well, and no one ever really thinks about how fleeing also in this day and age involves reading Airbnb reviews too. To be like, oh, okay.
That is very true. It's like, how much am I have to pay? How many hidden rules are in this Airbnb listing before I can be here?
Yeah.
The property is gorgeous, but the cleaning fee is insane.
Exactly. What's the cleaning fee on my second location?
It was jarring to be like, damn, I really bet on the wrong horse. I thought, you know, in the Northeast, you'd be safe from the fire smoke type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, if I were in LA, I'd be fine. Now this is insane.
Yeah.
I know. But don't worry, like, it'll come for us soon.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Fire, we have a season. We have a season of fires.
Oh, God.
And we have lots of rain this year, so it'll be bad.
My boyfriend do that. do that thing, you know, where you're like, okay, what would my, like, what's my, like, backup plan? What the fuck? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And we look at, like, places to buy. We're, like, we're looking around that area because he was like, it's the least, like, place where there's natural disasters.
It's fresh,
like,
water, well, too.
Yeah, but we're fucked everywhere, so.
It does feel like an attack from Canada as well. I haven't gotten an apology from a Canadian yet.
I kind of appreciate their aggression. You know,
yeah.
They have this reputation as, like, you know, the softies. And it's like, you know, they've got some bite too. They can be a little bit bad.
It's so true. It's like when that one girl from accounting, like, finally puts the post-it note up about not touching her lunch in the fridge. Like, you go.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Canada doesn't want global warming, and they're probably doing way more than we are.
Without having done any reading on the subject, I promise Canada has done so much more than us to fight global warming.
I have to ask, does your podcast normally have such a doomsday prepper vibe?
We dabble.
It has.
Really?
Yeah. We run the whole gamut. But I think we're all just feeling a little doomsday-ish.
Yeah, you know, we just talk about the world, and that's just where the world's at. We also, you know.
I love it. I respect it.
You haven't gotten, have you gotten any, like, doomsday prepping on Stradiolab?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, we have not, and that's a big surprise. I think that's a great topic, and it's weird that it hasn't come up yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, now I can't stop thinking about Last of Us. So it feels a little bit gay.
Yeah.
But prepping is pretty straight.
Prepping is pretty straight.
But they're, I mean, like, not prepping in Last of Us. They're just, like, seeing what they can find.
That's true.
Well, and then, like, Nick Offerman character, I couldn't tell if he was, like, supposed to be closeted coded or not. Like,
right.
I kind of thought he was. And so, like, the prepper was, like, a way to sort of get all that extra energy out of being closeted.
Real big hobby.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually an interesting read, and that kind of gives that episode even more sadness. Like, if he spent his whole, like, pre-apocalypse life in the closet, and then this is his one, like, meaningful relationship. Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah. I love Nick Offerman.
Me too.
A copy of, an audio copy of him reading The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and it is the most, like, soothing thing. Like, it's like my security blanket.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got the most soothing, like, I can't, if you can find something with Nick Offerman reading, I really recommend it.
Yeah, him and Megan Mullally, like, favorite Hollywood couple ever, maybe.
I know. Yeah. It's like they actually do seem like they get it, and then they also seem horny in a way that's like, thank you.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. Exactly. I know. I feel like they went on Conan's podcast and talked about fucking in the woods or something.
Oh, they all sounded like a thruple. That podcast episode is insane. I was what's going on? This is the horniest podcast.
Does Conan give off horny vibes? Like, I know he's attractive, but I've never gotten horny vibes,
but I can't tell.
I think he's too Catholic to be categorized as horny.
I think he has shame around his horniness. That, and I think that's where a horniness comes through, but he doesn't want it to.
Yeah.
That's where the horny comes from.
Yeah, I mean, the hotness is irrefutable, but I think part of the hotness is that there's sort of a lack of overt horniness.
Yeah, he can be corrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, he can be corrupted, but I feel safe around him.
Exactly.
Someone once, I heard, like, the most insane rumor that, like, literally from just some person that was like, Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally are both bisexual and both open. And it, like, gave me, like, I was like, oh, perfect. Like, I was just like, now I'm clinging to that as if it's fact in a way that is so unearned. Like, I'm just.
Because it feels really grounded in reality. And I know for sure Megan Mullally is bisexual.
We're talking.
Yeah. I'm like, I can confirm, like, I've hooked up with her or something. But, like, I know she, like, I've seen her on
lists. You're, like,
lists.
Wiping your mouth for some reason?
Like, I've seen her on lists. Yeah, that sounds accurate. 1,000% I would believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
well.
We're gonna go look into Nick Offerman's sexuality, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Sam.
Hi, Sam.
I feel like I whiffed it, to be honest.
You did
no,
great.
You did great.
No.
Would you like a second? You want a second go?
No, I okay. don't. No. Okay. I more just want to use this as a teaching moment to the listeners about how hard it is sometimes to be a podcaster.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it's not talked about enough about how difficult our medium is.
People think what we do is so easy, but you know, you find yourself introducing yourself and everyone else is being so perky and you're just going, and I'm Sam. And it's going to hurt your entire career from this moment on.
That is really true. Mm-hmm. People don't respect
it. It goes on your permanent podcast record, which a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, it's a website we all look into and get to check each other's stats on.
Yeah, it's like a credit score, but for podcasters.
Exactly.
Speaking of credit scores, we all know those are fake.
Yes.
Have you guys checked your credit score recently?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a thing that shows me that I'm,
It varies wildly depending on where you check. Has anyone else?
There's three different reports.
But different services will show you different scores for each of those three different reports. Like, you can do a hard pull and get, like, your actual one, but, like, anyway, it's a fiction. Numbers are made up, and so are credit scores.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They're made in the 80s. It's, like, when they started or some shit, too. It's complete bullshit.
Yeah. I imagine the podcast credit score to be one of those, like, you know, at the hospital when they have the, like, frowny face to smiley face?
Yes.
Like, that's where your credit score lands, somewhere in the frowny to smiley face range.
I like that.
Okay, we're going to play...
Everything should be simplified. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. With you. It's called the MySpace game. It's, you know, you get it. Let's play the theme song.
I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz. Quiz.
Okay, boy genius.
Thank you. Thank
you. Okay, so you get it. These are random questions from MySpace, which I pasted in and... You guys might see at the bottom that some of the answers are still in there from this person. I tried to erase them. Okay, Sam, are you a geek?
Good question.
Wow, I didn't know they'd be so loaded and so political.
Very.
I know, coming in strong. Like,
yes. I'm going to say yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Why unfortunately?
Well, I think I am, but I don't agree with it as an identity. Like, it's something, I think I have shame around it, but I do enjoy the geeky things. Like, I do game, I do I care about, like, Star Wars and stuff. But, like, I really don't want
to. Me and Babs are Trekkies, so don't worry.
Really?
You're in.
And I like Star Wars. I'm a nerd.
I appreciate that because I think it's really egregious, when people try to get high and mighty about geeky stuff.
Yeah.
It's really off-putting.
You mean when they try to act better than somebody because they like nerdy stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
I think, I could tell you're geek because you said, I do game, and that means you're using it as, like, a verb.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying Zelda? I guess is the question for you right now.
I am enjoying Zelda. I'm like addicted in a really problematic way. I'm like, I cannot stop.
So it's just like open. It doesn't have levels. It's just like you run around doing stuff.
There's like a main quest line. Okay. and like a few different ways to do that, but there's quite a bit of wandering as well and little side things to do.
I think that's too much for me. I need like a direct like beginning and end, you know.
Yeah. Honestly, before this, I played Elden Ring, which was like way above my skill level, and it was like the hardest thing I've ever done, and it was like, maybe you should just try reading books instead of this. But then now I'm playing Zelda and I'm like, this is so, I feel like I'm like returning to the shallow end of a pool. I'm like, finally I can relax.
That feels good.
That sounds nice.
I started playing our PS5 because like we have one and we don't really use it that much, and I was just looking for simple games that are like level games, like give me like a Mario-esque like beginning to end thing. So I started playing this, you know, game that's like pretty easy, but I didn't realize that like you can hear other people like through the controller if their mics are on. And so half the time I would just like, you can play with other people and it would just be like straight up children because it's such an easy game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is the kid talking? Like,
you can't mute the kids?
You can, but like, I didn't realize you have to turn it on. So it would default, you know. And you can't hear the sound on the thing if you mute them, so it's kind of annoying. But like, it was just, I just felt so creepy that all of a sudden there's just like a child talking.
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah. Mike
slash showing my skill level of playing a game where I'm like, oh, I'm literally playing a game that like 5-year-olds are playing.
Did you make any friends or?
Yeah,
I know. Well, because also if it was like an adult man, I was like, I do not want them to know I'm a woman playing this because I don't want to be creepy.
Do you have like a gamer voice? Like, oh no.
I kind of would talk low, you know. Well, I'm also playing under my boyfriend's name, which is AJ Stylin.
Nice.
Wow.
That's sorry to out him. I guess you can add me on PS5 if you want. Very funny. A very straight man name. So I'm hiding enough.
Yeah, my 10-year-old brother, I will hear him like playing his video games in his room sometimes, just like talking shit to his friends on that thing, and I just think like that's so, I'm glad that kids have that now. Like that's cool. That seems like a really nice, fun, healthy way to like engage with your peers.
It is cool, but it creeps me out that it's also just stranger. I was like,
yeah, that's weird. I think he plays with friends. I think his is like,
I think a lot of people do that. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't game.
In high school, it's when I like you started to be able to play online with friends, and I was really into it for a second.
Yeah. Did you like LAN parties and stuff? Or
oh yeah, I love that stuff. One time, I literally had a party at my house called Pajama Jam, which was like, it was ironic in the moment, but still, everyone was like, "Woo!" Pajama Jam, and like we wore pajamas and played video games in different rooms of my house, and it was like, this is so embarrassing.
That's fun. Pajamas in the wrong place are always fun.
It's true, there's something to it. It's very it like makes everyone, it equalizes everyone, puts everyone on the same level.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Sam,
what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, I had one single banana.
Is that your go-to?
It kind of is. I wake up late often. Not proud of it. Again, most of this podcast will be about me saying the things I do that I'm not proud of. happy pride to all. But I wake up late, and to make up for it, I'll eat a banana and then try to rush to the gym and to make up for my morning.
Mm.
I think that's good. Yeah, banana is a good, like, it's. I know it's food, but it feels like a food replacement.
Yeah.
It's a perfect meal. It's a perfect, first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can eat it when you're driving. You can eat it on the way to the gym.
I've been waking up, like, ravenous. Like, I'm like, I got to make pancakes. Like, I have to make, like, big breakfasts.
Oh, shit.
I know. I don't know. It's kind of annoying because it's a lot to do in the morning, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing different. I don't know why I'm so fucking hungry.
You know, I wake up like that from naps. Like, I wake up from naps and I just eat the weirdest shit. Like, I just eat like I just pound like the weirdest snacky. I'll just like eat hummus with my hands. You know what I mean? Like, I just wake up like, I eat. Yeah. That's probably my hungriest, I think, and weirdest eating. So maybe similar.
Yeah, I've been going through weird hunger. My appetite's been confusing, where it's like, my appetite's very counterculture right now, where it's like at lunch, I'll be like, well, I'm barely hungry. And then at like 4 p.m., I'll be like needing to eat so bad and just like tearing through whatever I can find in my kitchen.
That's the worst. When you miss the lunch window, because then that fucks you. Then you have to do a dinner. And then if you stay up late, you're kind of fucked.
I had the other day, I did a show and then I was like, oh, I don't know. I wanted something specific. So I went to the grocery store and ended up getting like too much shit. And I came home and I thought my boyfriend would be in bed by then. But he wasn't. And I come in with this like giant grocery bag and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, you're supposed to be asleep. Like, this was all supposed to just be dispersed into the kitchen and you weren't going to notice until tomorrow. My secret burrito time.
I feel like I have some, like, depression-era habits when it comes to groceries, too. Like, tell me if this is normal. I'll, like, not go to the store because I'll be like, no, I can't. I'm not going to buy new groceries until I use every leaf of this spinach. Like, I have to, like, completely deplete my fridge, like, completely to the point of, like, I'll have one vegetable and I'll make a meal out of that before I go to the store to re-up.
I try to do that.
I think that's a good way to be, though. I mean,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Adam's, like, the exact opposite. Like, he won't eat a leftover. I'm like, we need to eat the shit that we have. But he's always like, oh, there's nothing to eat. And I'm like, yes, there is. You just have to put it together into a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just eat it up.
It takes, a little bit of work.
Yeah, you can
do this. This is a great question. This is really important, and I'm glad that they asked it. Sam, have you ever sat on large rocks and dangled your feet over the ocean water and let the waves tickle your feet?
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, I want to say thank you to MySpace for providing such an important question. I think we should be asking politicians this question. I think we should be asking CEOs this question. I, you know, honestly, I'm going to say yes. I have. Hard yes.
Hard yes.
Good. Here's the thing. If the answer to that isn't yes, and you are a politician or CEO, I actually do want to know. I want to know that. I want to know that you haven't taken that moment of pleasure for yourself. What kind of weird robot are you?
I mean, how can you be making such large decisions and you haven't even let the ocean tickle your feet?
Like, I know.
I would love that to be the campaign sign. Like, yes, the ocean has tickled my feet.
I mean,
the tickling
is
so specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Okay, Sam. Isn't walking in the leaves romantic?
Walking in the leaves. Does that mean among the trees in fall, or does that mean in a leaf pile?
I think it's however you choose to interpret.
Whatever first came to mind for you, yeah.
Well, I imagine sort of the gutter where all the leaves pile up, and I'm going to say it's not romantic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really depends on the location of the leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that even like a leaf pile I would describe as even the most autumnal leaf pile.
Well, because
you don't know what's under there.
And someone's done the work of putting that pile together. And once you've raked leaves, it's like you don't want to mess with somebody else's. That's somebody's work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leaf piles are for children. Like,
yes.
Grow up,
sweetheart. Yeah.
Well, this question actually does have a follow-up. Do you have anyone in mind that you would want to walk in the leaves with?
I'm going to say my niece and nephew, because the leaf pile is for children.
Yes.
Proper answer.
Proper answer. We're all voting for you, sir.
How are you doing in the uncle game? Are you crushing
I'm kind of bad at it right now, to be honest.
What happened?
Well, first of all, my podcasting and comedy career are so important to me, and it's so hard to take a break. I think I'm like not clear what the role is. Like, there's not really a guidebook.
No.
And so I'm sort of like they're babies right now. Like, one of them is like 2 and one of them is like 6 months or something.
Okay.
And so it's
Oh, there's not much you can do at this stage.
You don't have a lot to work with.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm sure when they can understand me, I think I will kill. I think I'll be so funny and I think they'll be obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. But right now it's just sort of like, are you feeding me? Are you changing me? And I'm like, I don't really thrive there.
No, you're in a bit of a holding pattern.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but once they can talk and become like people, you'll be crushing it.
Yeah. Because I view the aunt and uncle role as like the cultural ambassador. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to tell them about cool music and cool books and cool hoodies and like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sit down. Let me tell you about American Apparel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, do you understand if I bestow this hoodie upon you? Do you understand what this means?
Yeah.
Brandy's got a new niece.
I have a brand new niece. She was like, she's 8 days old right now. It's crazy.
8 days in this world.
Aww. I know. I was like, ooh, it's been a hell of an 8 days, girl. Yeah. Little Piper Posey. Cutie.
How's the cute name? Your other niece doing with?
She's good. They're making it a big point. My other niece is 4, and they're making it like a big. Well, she's turning 4 this weekend. They're making it a big point to be like your big sister. You're number one. She like holds her for a minute. Like it's her birthday the week after the baby was born. So it's also like, okay, she gets to like have a big party. They're still trying to make her like. She's had her first ballet recital.
They're not combining their birthdays yet. They will.
No.
They will.
No. They will at some point, but now.
They will.
Yeah.
For right now. Hurt.
But as an adult, my sister and I's birthdays are less than a month apart, but still not even close to a week. And as adults, we love it because that's like our whole birthday. We combine forces and just treat ourselves all month.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of fun.
As adult sisters, having birthdays close together is really fun.
Yeah.
Was it hard as like teens?
Well, we're 5 years apart. So it was like we kind of each had our own.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The big thing I'm trying to figure out is that like for my niece Harley, my older niece, I send her postcards. Like, and so she probably has like 40 or 50 from me that are just like in a box that I'm like, well, when you read eventually, you can hear about all the cool things I did as like, you know, in my 30s and shit when I was your aunt. Like, that's fun. But now I got this new baby.
You're like, oh, shit, I can't do the same thing.
Does she get postcards too?
That's the thing when they have multiples. You have to start. I mean, Brandy, I have brothers who are triplets.
I know.
I have 3 nieces. You have to buy everything in triplicate. Every nice thing you want to do, you have to do 3 times over, 2 times over.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out. I'm like, should I try to come up with something else for her? Or is that going to be like, I don't know if anything will be better.
Yeah. It's hard to think of something equivalent that's like, personalized too.
That's not going to be expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I guess I'll just start
a new toe ring for every time you go out of the
house. Yeah, exactly. Here are your toe rings, Piper. I hope they're in in the 2050s. I hope that they're.
Wait, have they're toe in. Rings come back? Because I feel like that's very 1998.
I bet they have.
It is. I haven't heard about it. I've not heard about toe rings.
We've got to do something with all the rings that are on the fingers now. We've hit critical mass on finger rings at this point. Well,
true.
Tess is doing well with just 2. I mean,
I have three, four actually.
But I will say you don't have any on the second knuckle. And those are the ones that I don't know if that's just for Instagram hands, but you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Whenever I see those, I'm like, what's happening?
You don't think that's cute? Is that not cute?
I think it's cute, but it feels very like, I don't know. Like what's, it
impractical.
Feels like a lot. Just feels like a lot.
I was talking to my mom and she was like, oh, I want to send you something for your birthday. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I was going to buy you some gold hoop earrings. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I already have some. So I was like, I don't really need any, you know?
Yeah.
And then she's like, or I was going to send you a St. Christopher necklace.
Oh.
Well, you got to go the hoops.
Yeah, I think you got 2 sets of hoops now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, what is Christopher the Saint of?
It's like protection. Or something. Yeah.
What does that necklace look like?
He's just like a little man.
One of those little like medallion, like small medallion type, which I wouldn't necessarily mind, but I'm just not like religious. So I'm like,
sure.
I ended up, I was like, why don't I send you like a link?
Yeah.
I sent her a link to like a little bracelet thing.
That's nice. That's nice.
She still doesn't quite get that I'm not like Catholic, I don't think.
They won't. Yeah. That's the thing with Catholicism. It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't take.
No, they like to just be like, no, that's fine. You'll be back.
And also because you can half-ass it so much, I think that's the problem. Right. Like, everyone who's Catholic half-asses it. So when you're like, I'm out, they're like, yeah, we're all out, but you're still Catholic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and yeah. It also kind of honestly freaked me out because I feel like I've been like, you know, knock on wood, like pretty mm-hmm. lucky in my life. And I was like, I don't think I need this. What if I yeah. get the, what if I get this oh. thing and then things go wrong? I feel like it could be a bad charm for me.
Oh, I have a question. Mm-hmm. How do, this could be a MySpace question too. How do you guys feel about Ouija boards? Speaking of charm stuff, because Rick,
I want to believe. Yeah? I like wish they worked because, like, whenever I've tried to use one, like the board's too sticky or something. Like mm-hmm. I am wanting the fantasy yeah. of even being like, who moved? What the hell? Mm-hmm. Like that sounds so fun to me.
Yeah.
But I've never had it work right.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm willing to go there. I'm suspending my disbelief, but I have never had like a Ouija board experience that feels remotely metaphysical.
Got it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just never fucked with them.
But really? And then,
like, yeah, I'm good.
You've never done a Ouija board?
No, I'm good.
Are you freaked out by it?
I just don't even want to, like, fuck with anything
like
potentially.
You're scared of it?
I'm not scared of it. I just am not, like...
Like, it's made by Milton Bradley.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like, so my boyfriend found one. Somebody's moving out of his building and they put all these like toys or like games in the lobby for like take it what you want. Also, I got a twister from that for our sleepover.
I'd be more scared of the twister.
But
he had this Ouija board.
Got some demons.
He was like, oh, I'll take the Ouija board. That'll be fun. And then he was like eating on the box. He was like eating. He had like a sandwich that he put on. I was like, don't put it. Don't put a ham sandwich on top of the portal to the dead. I don't know about that.
Now you got to do it. Now I really need you guys to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
No.
What about that ghost that's outside on your tree?
Oh yeah,
yeah. The Dutchman. He's out there, and he's just I've been house sitting for a month, and then there's like a shadow that is cast upon the tree outside of my home that looks like an old man leaning against a tree. It's extremely creepy. And it's new because I put a sign up and the way the light hits it, that's what happens. But I hadn't seen it for a month. And when I pulled in, I was like, and then I was like, oh, it's this fucking Dutchman. That's what it is.
Wow. That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, I think it probably creeps out strangers on my street. So hopefully they stay away from my house, but it also creeps me out when I see it at night.
Yeah. Also, it's like the necklace thing where I'm like, I don't need, I'm fine with my relationship with the Dutchman. I don't need to talk to him.
Yeah. No, that's exactly how I feel. I'm like, there's already like a weird being that, I live in a trailer park and my manager is like, yeah, it's the Dutchman. There's EVP activity outside of your house. And I'm like, all right, we don't need to bring in a Ouija board and talk to the Dutchman. It didn't seem like he was a pleasant person. Yeah, exactly.
I kept thinking, I was like, isn't there the Legend of the Flying Dutchman? And then I realized that's Trader Joe's.
There's like something in SpongeBob about the Flying Dutchman ghost guy.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's like it's an old pirate. Like,
yeah, it's an old ghost ship
like
thing. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, we've got to contact some.
Yeah, we'll be
spirits.
Right. We have important stuff to do.
It's time.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, we're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Sam.
Yeah!
Wow. That felt so powerful and so honest and so now.
It felt so good to be here for it.
You know, I just want any potential podcaster to hear me and hear me grow throughout this episode and know that where you are right now isn't where you're going to be in 15 minutes, you know?
I totally. Like that. We should actually, let's actually not release this on the public thing, but be like, but put it behind a paywall and be like, the one podcast you need to listen to in order to grow as a podcaster.
Yes.
The weirdest part is that would unfortunately work. That would work so well.
Of course it would. I would buy it. I'm even convinced. It's my podcast. You know, I'm still going to buy it.
That's making me nostalgic for like 5 years ago when we were at the peak of clickbait. I feel like clickbait is kind of like not in its heyday anymore.
Actually, I did see. Oh, my God. What was it? It was making me laugh so hard. Fuck. It was some actor. Damn it. I'm going to fuck it up. But it was somebody was like, remember John Stamos? Look at his house. It like made me die laughing. It's like,
cool. Wow. Okay.
Got me.
Well, yeah, it has become like a lower art form. It's like now you know it's going to be a bullshit like ad when you see a clickbait article, which is like too bad because there used to be real finesse to it.
That's the thing. And dare I say, I was sometimes the person writing those things. And it took, I was proud, it made me proud. When I was this healthy? No. But when I came up with something really clickbaity, and then the next day I came in and I saw that it had gotten a lot of traffic, I had this very Dr. Evil kind of like, yes. It was a very addictive feeling to like, no, like throw something out there and be like, you gonna take it?
Wow. I would love to know some of your highlights of the article titles.
My clickbait opus, actually, Babs was, it was a Vice article that I wrote called, Babs was there for it, called, I Fixed My Credit by Day Drinking.
Wow. I am smashing that little click. That is unbelievable. That is so good.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to need a clickbait title for this episode, I think. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we already had, what was it, the one podcast you need?
Yeah.
Listen to this podcast to become a... The one podcast you need to dangle your legs in the ocean and tickle your feet.
If you have a podcast and you haven't heard this episode, stop what you're doing and listen now.
Yes.
Exactly. Title, click, print.
Okay, we're going to do some lady problems now. And by the way, we need lady problems. So if you have one, write to us. It can be small, it can be big, it can be whatever. LadyToLadyComedy@gmail.com, or you can give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Hi, ladies. So I just have a problem that's been plaguing me for a little while, and it's how do I nicely tell my best friend to divorce her husband, who is a piece of shit. He is a person who threatens to kill himself. When he left the house and, like, stayed with his parents, he would tell people that she kicked him out when they both of it. But she had 100 fever for, like, 2 days. He refused to make her soup. He refused to make her anything. But the soup is what really just got me, with 100 fever. Like, honey, that's not a husband. That's a roommate. But I don't know how to tell her and, like, how she can be better. She deserves everything without making her defensive about him, because she literally had a sleepover with people because she didn't want to share the bed with her husband. Like, and she's 25. She thinks, like, she's going to be alone forever if she, like, does this. She wants a baby eventually, but I'm like, please not with him. Because he will be the dad to be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll watch them. And then that day probably be like, no, I never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. And stupid shit like that. So how do I nicely, without, like, getting angry and ranting about the whole thing she's done, nicely, without her getting defensive, be like, you deserve so much more than what this man has been offering you for over 10 years. Like, don't feel like you, like, he's the only one who can love you because you are an amazing person. Please. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. So also some math, like she's 25 and they've been together for 10 years. So this is like a high school.
High school. Oh, yeah. You know what? Like my first instinct was like she needs to take or should take her friend out to like somewhere where they can flirt with guys. I think this friend needs to like realize she still has it. And that's going to be like the first step. Like she needs to get hit on by some cute guys and just like realize there's other shit out there. I think it can be so easy to get tunnel vision. And especially when you've been with someone since you're really young, like you can normalize some really problematic behavior because it is your first serious relationship. And you're like, well, I guess everybody's kind of miserable, right? You know, like you don't really have anything to compare it to. So I think that's just like, I think you can maybe help her feel less afraid of possibly leaving this situation if she can be, if she can see that there is life beyond this person.
And then build self-esteem too. And like, I think doing that, but if it can be like on like a trip that you guys go on or something, so it's not like in your hometown and that might have her more in her head or something.
Yeah.
Like just removing her from him as much as possible to kind of also be like, oh, look how nice my life is when he's not around too.
Mm-hmm. Like because that's the opposite of like him going out of the house somewhere and you kind of being stuck at home or her being stuck at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You need to kind of shake her out of the situation a little bit. And I mean, you know, we talked about this before as far as like how it's very hard to talk to somebody when their partner sucks, you know, because you can't as much as you want, like they have to make that choice, you know. But I do think that, yeah, you can. I would get her away. I wouldn't have a conversation via phone or text. Like, it is something you want to talk to them in person about and make sure that the partner's not around, you know? And I think be careful to not, because she might get defensive, not to criticize him necessarily, but to kind of just at least let her know that there's more out there for her and that she doesn't have to, that you know, she is young. She's got so much ahead of her and that this is not the end. It's just, could be the beginning, you know?
Yeah, and I think this is all just also very, like, this stuff is a super taxing on self-esteem, too. So, like, a lot of it is her feeling, I'm sure, that she, like, isn't worth more, like, you know, and, like, this is the best, this is what I deserve or whatever, because she's been in it this long. So I think also just, like, building her up as much as possible and, like, she probably feels in that relationship like she's doing everything wrong to some, like, you know, she's, like, is taking on a lot of it. There's a lot of shame involved in those kind of relationships. And I think that, like, yeah, whatever you can do to make her feel like she's, like, her own person and, like, building her up and, like, making her feel like she's bigger than this and deserves everything.
Yeah, and I think
you guys nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thanks for coming on to our comedy podcast, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I'm like, this is so hard. I'm like, being 25 and thinking that's, like, the end,
I know.
Simply can't relate to, but...
But I don't even remember my life at 25.
Yeah. Well, and like, if somebody could just, I feel like this is probably one of the most, this is definitely a common problem we get from people. It's something I think everybody has experienced or everybody does experience at like one point in their life, if not consistently. Like, there's always somebody that you care about with a real dud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really one of the life's most frustrating quandaries because.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a situation, you have agency. Like if you're in a bad situation, like you, there are things you can do to get out of it. But when somebody that you love is like, your hands are really pretty tied. I feel, I mean, that's been my life experience.
Yeah.
I mean, all you can do is, and we said this in the past, but really all you can do is be there for her and be like, look, I'm here anytime you want to talk, you know, and kind of just make sure she knows she has a support system. That's like the most important things because she's going to need that when stuff hopefully does end. And I would talk to, you know, if you have friends or family who are also close to her, talk to them to be like, let's like make sure we're really checking in on her all the time and kind of like really trying to let her know that she's not alone, you know. And like I've been in a relationship where someone was threatening to kill themselves if I left and it was fucking horrible. Like because you're obviously terrified that if you don't do it, they're gonna do that. I mean it's
the number one I don't know about the number one, but it's very manipulative.
It's so manipulative.
Extremely manipulative behavior.
You know, yeah. And I don't want you to say to her, like, he's not going to do that because obviously you can't, whatever. But,
no.
I mean, I think you could maybe let her know, like, you know, I think that he's using this as a manipulation tactic maybe. And remind her that the things that he does are not her fault. It is, yeah. He's making those choices to do things, you know. So I think if you can kind of try to put a little bit of that in her head, it might help her see the situation differently, you know.
I also feel like it's important to convey, like, that the idea of, like, don't have a kid with this guy. And I don't know how you point home as hard as possible. I'm almost like, shit, maybe you need to, like, make up another friend that's like, I had a friend that was in a really bad relationship. And they were talking, but, like, luckily they got divorced before they had a kid, because it is so much harder if you have a kid.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this sounds kind of crazy, but get her to listen to this podcast, Something Was Wrong. It's about people who get in kind of, like, manipulative relationships, and all the time when you listen to it, you're like, oh, when they have a kid with the guy, it's 10,000 times worse because they're connected to them in that way. And, like, that's the main thing I got from listening to that podcast, is I was like, oh, my God. Like, when they have a kid with the guy, it's like, it makes it so much worse. So if she likes podcasts, I would honestly suggest listening to that, because I think it helps people when they hear someone else has gone through something similar, and it opens their eyes a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could suggest her listening to that. Or I think Reddit can help sometimes with showing, like, people who've been through similar situations and kind of they can see themselves reflected. So I know that there's, like, different, you know, Reddit forums for stuff for people who've gone through stuff like this that maybe she can, like, look at, and you can just kind of be like, read through this. And it gives them a chance to, like, input information without kind of needing to talk about their own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. Cause also I feel like Reddit, the friend could ostensibly create a handle and, like, post if themselves if they want.
Yeah, a lot of people post on there anonymously about the stuff they're going through and get advice. And I think, mm-hmm. like, it can be a good outlet for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does sound like she's, like, she knows something's up, because she's having, like, you guys sleep over and doing, like, group sleep. Like, she's, it might not take her a while to, like, come to the realization. But I do think that, like, a lot of those relationships, it's, like, from the point of, like, starting to think about breaking up until the actual it ending, it can be a period of years, but you know, she probably if she's doing that kind of stuff, she probably, some part of her, some percentage of her already knows that, like, this isn't right. But yeah, I think it's, like, building her up and, like, getting her filling that pie chart in.
She knows. It's just that he's around her too much for her to fully.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's also, like, clearly, like, eating up all the space and stuff. I mean,
Oh,
he sounds
25. Like,
that's,
I know.
So young.
Such a baby.
Also, people, I think, think of divorce as failure a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like, even if she knows the relationship is bad, she's like, well, that would look bad it would look like I made a mistake then.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, you just got to be like, no, it's totally fine and normal.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I totally, like, especially if the friend brings that up. Then then the floodgates are open, and then you can say whatever the fuck you want. Hey, no, literally think of all the other people you know that have gotten divorced. Did you think they were failures? Probably not.
No.
You're probably happy that, like, they got out of that situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when it's something so young, because it's like, you just change as a person so much over the course of, like, time, and especially, like, those years where it's like, I mean, my boyfriend has, like, he has an ex-wife, and they actually had a very amicable divorce because they got together when they were 22, and they were like, you know what? This has run its course. We got together, we're too young, we're different people, we're going our separate ways. I wish you nothing but the best. And it, like, they pulled themselves up out of, you know, they helped each other get themselves up to a different point in life. And, you know, an end of a relationship or an end of a marriage is not failure whatsoever, you know?
Just watch some French movies, you'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine being with my high school boyfriend still.
Oh my God.
I cannot.
My high school boyfriend hears my comedy on the radio in Colorado sometimes when he's washing dishes. So
wow.
Those are fun. Those are fun Instagram messages to get every once in a while.
<Service. laughs> good luck. I'm sorry. This is like the evergreen shitty problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if she's not in therapy, maybe consider trying to get her to talk to a professional who's also going to be like, who will also be keeping notes, like in the event that anything escalates and like a weird or anything happens. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's just, she could be, a therapy would be good, but also having a, like hearing stuff from a professional sometimes is like, you kind of just need to hear it from them versus a friend too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, you know, I think. Yeah.
And we're not professionals, but you can still play this for her if you want.
I mean, we are, but like not that kind of professional. Like, yeah. We're like businesswomen.
Yes.
Yeah. We wear blazers.
Yeah.
Sam, this has been so fun hanging out with you.
This has been a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Where can everybody find Stradio Lab and anything else you have going on?
Stradio Lab comes out every single Tuesday, everywhere podcasts are downloadable. And you can find me on Instagram at Sam Taggart. And I used to say at Twitter too, at Sam T Taggart, but honestly, I barely post anymore except for retweets.
Yeah.
So it's probably boring.
It's a hellscape over there. We can all agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
Well, yeah, check out Stradio Lab and thank you for hanging out with us. And thanks everybody for listening.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I just wanted to thank you, and especially Beth, because this past weekend, me and my 3 girlfriends went to Las Vegas, and we went to Magic Mike for the bachelorette party. And, you know, as the bride, somebody may have been, you know, pulled onto the stage, and damn, that skincare routine just must be top notch, because that skin is like velvet. But anyway, baby, thank you so much. Love you. Bye.
Good morning, ladies. I'm driving home from work and you're keeping me awake, and I appreciate that. Tess, I just heard about your soup woes and how you can't eat bread, and I have a recipe for you. If you go on Serious Eats and look up their 15-minute tomato soup, which is also vegan, it's a soup that has bread blended into it, and it is delicious. Okay, I hope you like it if you try it. Love you guys. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.